You brothers and sisters of the King, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Jesus is on trial, standing before Pontius Pilate. The Messiah, the Son of God, the King of creation, stands before a Roman governor, accused of blasphemy by the Jewish Sanhedrin, charged with treason before Pilate. There's a tragic irony to the scene played out before us in today's gospel text. Christ, by whom and through whom all things were made, is on trial. And he's innocent. He's innocent of blasphemy because he is the Son of God. He's innocent of treason because his kingdom is not of this world. What we have here is not so much a trial concerned with justice, but a show concerned with the political maneuverings between the Sanhedrin and Pilate. It's all a farce. There's no justice here. Pilate himself finds no guilt in Jesus, but eventually crucifies him anyway. Jesus has been delivered into the hands of sinful men to be crucified. And yet, it's not as if Jesus is helpless in all of this. It's not as if he needs Pilate to rescue him. Jesus laid down his life on his own accord and took it up again on Easter. Jesus truly is the Son of God and the King over creation. He is the Lord of life, and he has power over this world, over the dark forces of Satan, over death itself. He exercised this power throughout his ministry for the sake of others, healing people of their diseases, casting out demons, raising the dead back to life. Repeatedly, Jesus' enemies tried to trap him in debates, but were unable to do so because he spoke with divine authority. Multiple times, his enemies attempted to kill him, but couldn't because it was not yet the appointed time. Indeed, Jesus has power and authority over creation. He is the Son of God. He is the King. The sham trial before Pilate and the even more sketchy trial before the Sanhedrin are only able to successfully put him to death because Jesus is allowing it. It was his Father's will that he die on the cross, and Jesus submitted to his Father's will by willingly laying down his life at the hands of his enemies. Even in this moment, as he stands accused before Pilate, Jesus still has power and authority over creation. The nations are his footstool, even when the nations put him to death. Well, this weekend is the last Sunday of the church year, and with this liturgical date are lots of end-time themes. That is, when Christ will return and raise all believers to resurrected life with him in the new creation. But on this weekend, we're also celebrating Christ the King Sunday, for which we have these awesome new gold pyramids. And praise God for such a great gift. So along with Christ the King Sunday, then, are themes of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. That is, the reign and rule of God in this world, in and through Jesus. And so the themes of Jesus' kingship, his reign and rule, are intricately connected to the themes of Jesus' second coming. Jesus fully reigns in the new creation, which is where Christ is ultimately leading all of us, where there is no more sin and death. But Jesus also reigns in this fallen world today. So Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, brought with him, ahead of time, his reign and rule. Jesus has already ushered in the new creation, his reign and rule, into this fallen creation. He did this through his preaching, his miracles of healing, his forgiveness of sins, and through his death and resurrection. And he continues to do this through the ministry of word and sacraments in the church. So the kingdom of God isn't just a future reality. It's a future reality that Christ has made real in the present, too. As the King of creation, Jesus has brought with him the kingdom of God. The reigning rule of God has broken into this world through the man, Jesus. As those who belong to Christ, we truly live under His reign and rule today through faith, eagerly anticipating His return. And for us, Jesus' return still lies in the future. But in the new creation, we will see fully, with our eyes, that Christ truly is King of creation. This is certainly true in the present, but now we only see that by faith. Jesus is reigning now, but He has not yet returned. The reign and rule of Jesus is the now and not yet paradox. Jesus is King now, but not yet do we see that with our eyes. Jesus is King today, but sin, death, and Satan remain powerful enemies in creation. Jesus rules over all creation today, but there will be a day when He returns and He finally and completely rids His creation of sin, death, and the devil. Jesus certainly is King now, in the present, but for now, His reign is hidden. It's only apparent through faith. Christ hides His rule over creation in the ministry of word and sacrament found in the church. And so by faith we live in this now and not yet paradox. And Jesus brings this paradox to light in His conversation with Pilate. The interaction between Pilate and Jesus is fascinating, and I want to focus our meditation on Jesus' words in verse 36, where He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Although His kingdom is not of this world, Jesus really is King, and His reign and rule is active in this world. But Jesus' kingdom is not like the earthly kingdoms and governments that have come and gone throughout history. Jesus' kingdom is different. Jesus' kingdom is something else entirely. Jesus absolutely is a king with power and authority. But how does He use that power and authority? Jesus, the all-powerful, healed the sick. Jesus, who spoke by His own divine authority, rebuked demons and forgave sins. He sought sinners that they might be saved. He loved His enemies that they might be forgiven. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of creation, employs His power and authority for the sake of others. The Son of God and King of creation set aside His power and authority by becoming a part of creation, by becoming a man. This is what the rule and reign of God looks like, that the Lord of creation became a part of creation, becoming like you and me. We have a King who joined us in His creation, who suffered with us, who suffered for us. We have a King who willingly submitted Himself to His enemies that we might live. So Christ the King submitted Himself to the earthly rulers, to the Sanhedrin and to Pilate. The irony here is the Son of God placing Himself beneath those who are in fact His footstool. So as we observe Jesus' conversation with Pilate, one begins to wonder, who's really on trial here? Because Jesus, He's not hapless. He truly is the King. Jesus isn't the one caught in a political trap between Pilate and the Sanhedrin. It is they, the Roman governor and the Jewish religious leaders, who are trapped in their own schemes, plots, and political maneuvers. Furthermore, Jesus doesn't need Pilate to declare Him innocent or to acknowledge His kingship. Nor does He need the Sanhedrin to drop their charges and recognize that He is the Son of God. Jesus just is the King. He just is the Son of God. It is Pilate who needs Jesus to declare Him innocent. It's the Sanhedrin who needs the Son of God to drop His charges against them. Pilate has the authority to take life. Jesus has the authority to give life by laying down His own life. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is over this world. Jesus rules and reigns over all creation. So what does it mean for us that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world? What does it mean for us who presently live under the reign and rule of Jesus? Well, we could draw scores of applications of these truths, but on this Christ the King Sunday, I have just a few that I would like us to meditate upon. First, we are free to live like it's actually true that we live under the reign and rule of Jesus. Now, not free in the American sense of freedom, which is so concerned with individual rights, but free in a much deeper spiritual sense. Free in that Christ has freed us from the tyranny of sin. We don't have to be slaves to our sin. We don't have to give in to greed or lust, revenge or gossip, resentment or anger. Christ has freed us from these taskmasters and given us a better way to live. Life in Himself. Life full of the fruits of the Spirit. Life shared in the fellowship of other Christians. Life full of love and care for one another. Life full of forgiveness and reconciliation. Christ our King has given us life abundant. And that life abundance spills over into our relationships with each other and the world around us. Second, since Christ is truly our King and we belong to His kingdom that is not of this world, we don't have to live in anger or fear. And this means that we can relax a bit when it comes to politics. I am very troubled by Christians on either side of the aisle who absolutely lose their minds over politics. It's not that politics don't matter, they certainly do, and as citizens in God's world, we do have political responsibilities. So let's be wise and shrewd with those responsibilities. But we don't need to lose our minds when our political candidates lose, nor should we think that everything will finally be solved when our political candidate wins. Put not your trust in princes. God does not need a Republican or a Democrat in office in order to carry out His purposes. All governmental authorities are His servants, whether they acknowledge it or not. Furthermore, the church doesn't need a Republican or a Democrat in office in order to be the church. We already have a King, Christ, and He will remain with His church and sustain His church no matter the political climate surrounding the church. This isn't to say that things might not get difficult. They certainly may. But Jesus told us not to be surprised by this. And we shouldn't fear what might happen next. To succumb to fear and to lose our minds in anger over politics is to not trust God. Jesus is with us. The church has survived much worse. And if governments continue to push against the church, okay. Well, Jesus said they would. Life may get harder. But we will still be the church. We don't need First Amendment rights or tax exemptions or political parties, as helpful as those things might be, to be the church. We have Christ the King. And again, it's not that politics don't matter. They do. God cares about the daily activities in his world. As Christians, we are called to speak God's truth and to live according to His truth. But we do so in love. And we don't have to get angry when the world doesn't listen to us. It didn't listen to Jesus. And we don't have to try to attach God's truth to political power via a political party or candidates. Remember, Jesus did not need Pilate to proclaim the truth. Jesus spoke the truth to Pilate then. And He speaks the truth today because He is the truth. So then, we can take a step back from all the political bantering on social media and instead use that energy and creativity for good in this world. As those who live under the reign and rule of Jesus, we're free to live a better way. So instead of getting angry over politics, We can pray over political situations in our country and world. We pray for those in political office, regardless of who they are. We also seek to serve others. We seek to love our neighbors. So in our families and communities, we strive against evils like abortion and racism. We promote justice and virtue. In this world, we can actively and creatively encourage goodness, truth, and beauty because God cares about goodness, truth, and beauty in the world, even in this fallen world, because it's still His world. The abundant life Christ our King has given us also impacts how we view and engage in politics. And finally, since Christ is our King, we can trust that no matter what befalls us, the church or the world around us, who He is will not change. Jesus is our King. He has made us His subjects, His servants, giving us our identities as children of God. And it's not as if the things we encounter in this life don't matter. Broken relationships, cancer, surgeries, the pandemic, financial crises, besetting sins, all these things do matter. But in spite of all these things, and even in all these things, Jesus is our good and gracious King. He's still our King who laid down His life that we might have life. He's still our King who rules and reigns not only over all of creation, but in our individual lives as well. And He's still our King who will return and raise us from the dead to live life in the new creation, where we will fully experience His reign and rule. Praise be to God that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, and that He has brought us into His kingdom now and for all eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our King. Amen.